From newstalkzb.co.nz.
It's Leighton Smith.
Coincidence, opportunity, a fine thing both. It just so happened that I spotted the whale oil, Cam Slater, in the building. And so I said, seeing you've just been in Fiji, let's talk about it for 5 minutes. Good morning.
Morning, Leighton.
Now, you went to, you were born in Fiji. That's an important element of this, because that's what has encouraged your interest in Fiji.
Yes.
And I know that you and I have been running parallel courses on, or a parallel course on this, because we both think that Australia and New Zealand were out of line, out of place, did the wrong thing, etc., when it came to Fiji and their scenario.
Yes.
So, having spent a few days up there, and I know that you spoke with some people, who did you meet?
I met Christopher Pride, who's the Director of Public Prosecutions, is the Acting Solicitor General at the moment, although a replacement appears to have been found for that. He was the Solicitor General immediately following the coup. I met with Pio Te Kanduadua, who is the Permanent Secretary to the Department of Prime Minister, and I also met with the Attorney General.
Out of those, who gave you the best? Who was the best meeting?
We covered different topics in each one. With Christopher Pride, I covered the impact of sanctions on recruiting judges, on the dispensing of justice within Fiji, those sorts of issues. With Pio Te Kanduadua, it was mostly politics and talking about the relationship between Australia and New Zealand.
And he is who?
He's the Permanent Secretary to the Prime Minister.
Right.
So he's basically the Commodore's right-hand man. His office is directly across the corridor from the Prime Minister's. And with the Attorney General, I talked about more broader human rights issues and the impact of sanctions negatively or positively from Fiji's perspective.
Now, many might be asking, why would these people talk to a mere blogger from another country?
Well, I asked. I contacted them and said, look, I'm going to be in Fiji. Can I come and see you? And they said yes. And I found it very easy, in fact, easier to talk to them than it is to talk to some of New Zealand's politicians. I guess they have seen what I've written about Fiji in the past and my views, and it'd be fair to say that I'm sympathetic to the direction that Fiji is being taken, and I asked questions around that. But I had no restrictions placed on me. I had no minders. I had nobody watching what I was doing.
No, was there anything at all that indicated to you that things weren't operating in a normal, happy state?
Nothing at all. I mean, I chose to drive down from Nandi to Suva. People said it's a bit challenging. It's highly entertaining. But I saw a normal Pacific Island nation operating. I saw only one policeman on that drive, and he had a speed camera, you know, hiding in a bus stop trying to get people on the way through. Because the speed limit's only 80, which is marginal anyway on some parts of the road. When I was in Suva, you know, John Key came out with a statement during the South Pacific Forum saying that the army needs to get back in the barracks. So I didn't see a single soldier anywhere there, even when I visited the Prime Minister's office on the fourth floor of the new wing of the government buildings. So the impression that is given by the constant referring to the government as a military regime and they need to get back in the barracks and all of those sorts of things is farcical and also almost embarrassing from our politicians' point of views.
But we are easing off. We're making progress. We're re-establishing contact, even if we don't want them back in the group.
Well, they don't want to come back in. That's
well, that's really where I wanted to go with this. Where are they at economically? How close are they? Do you get the impression they're getting to the Chinese or anybody else? And who do they care about now?
Fiji cares about Fiji. Before they did, they used to care about what New Zealand and Australia thought. But the overriding impression that I got from all the people I spoke to on the record and off the record is that Fiji is now focusing northwards rather than southwards. They really don't care about being blocked from the South Pacific Forum. I asked about the South Pacific Forum several times with people there, and they said, oh, we don't bother with that anymore, even though they don't want us there. It's meaningless. It's myopic. It's not the direction that we want to take Fiji in.
And yet they still want Australian and New Zealand tourists.
Look, they are really open about this. They say, we have no problem at all with the Australian and New Zealand people. We love them coming here. We share rugby, fans of rugby, all of that sort of thing. What we really just don't like is the way the governments talk to us. And so they're very clear on separating that. But just on that, in terms of Air Pacific, they've turned that airline around. It used to focus and run a hub basically out of Auckland. They've split that off now, and they're running multiple hubs. So they've got one out of Hong Kong and one out of Los Angeles. And since they've done that, tourism has increased, and particularly from the Northern Hemisphere. So tourism's increased despite the sanctions. Trade has increased despite the sanctions. Fiji's now joined the non-aligned movement. So, you know, we've actually, by cutting them off and showing the cold shoulder, we've forced them into the non-aligned movement with countries like North Korea and Libya and Syria and all of that. So there was a real policy.
Yeah, but the Greenies might be saying that's where they belong.
Sure, but that's a real policy win, isn't it, from us, from New Zealand. We've forced Fiji to look elsewhere.
Did you get the impression at all that our changing attitude was brought about by pressure from the Americans, due specifically to the growing influence of the Chinese?
They believe that is the case, the changing attitude. But the reality is, in Fiji, is they really don't care, because one of the side effects of the smart sanctions is that a lot of international aid stopped going into Fiji. And as a result, they had to realign their economy. They had to take stock of the government situation. They made drastic cuts in a lot of areas of the civil service. And as a result, they've turned their economy around. In fact, they got a credit upgrade in the recent round of credit ratings for countries. New Zealand didn't do so well in that.
Any Chinese influence that you picked up?
Well, there's schools that have been sponsored by Chinese. The government house, or where the president lives, the fence has been built by the Chinese. There's Chinese roadwork companies that are in there, you know, redoing roadworks and infrastructure and things like that. There is evidence of that, but the Fijians' perspective is, well, if Australia and New Zealand don't want to participate in our economy, we'll go and get someone who will. And the best thing about the Chinese coming in here is they don't tell us how to run our country. So they're fairly pragmatic about it all.
They use a more subtle form of influence, I think.
Well, there is, but you know, at the end of the day, as far as they're concerned, Fiji is a sovereign nation, and what they do inside their own country is up to them. And they shake their head at the rank hypocrisy of New Zealand in that we have a free trade agreement with China. We don't have people like Phil Goff insisting that the Chinese government has an independent judiciary and a free media and free and fair elections, and yet we insist on that for Fiji.
Yeah. All right. Good to talk to you.
Tomorrow's interview on the site is with the Attorney General.
On whale oil.
That's right.
Okay.
Thanks, Leighton.
He's a pleasant bloke, isn't he?
Very pleasant, very smart.
Yeah.
Underestimated, I think, by Phil Goff and Murray McKelly.
I'd agree with that. It outranked both of them. I thank you.
No problem.
And read more tonight. Tomorrow.
The 7am Report.
Good morning. I'm Bernadine Oliver Turby with the 7am Report.
It's big.
As the 7am Report continues.
Big.
News Talk ZB, time saver traffic and travel with sports. Matt Brown. Morning, Matt.
Good morning, Wendy.
The 7am Report. So big, it wouldn't fit in your mailbox. Then Mike Hosking and ZB's biggest interview of the day.
Well, hold on. Are you the benefit?
News, sport, traffic, weather, interviews. The 7am Report. 12 and a half minutes of power. Live from the News Talk ZB News Centre. Weekdays from 7 on News Talk ZB.